I am speaking a message today. It's for a few moments called I Am a Witness. I am a witness. In both from antiquity to now, a witness is someone who carries the evidence of an event. We think of it in terms of trial, and an eyewitness is someone who witnessed an event and then shares about that in a court setting. And so we're going to talk about I Am a Witness. Acts 4, chapter, the fourth chapter, 33rd verse. The church had been born in the day of Pentecost, and we're in Passover, and Christ, this is Resurrection Sunday, in 50 days from now will be Pentecost Sunday. And on Pentecost Sunday, almost 2,000 years ago, 120 believers were gathered together, and there the church was born, a baptism of Holy Spirit, indwelling power. And then in chapter 3, there was miraculous events. And in chapter 4, they got some pushback from the culture, and they prayed a prayer, and God answered it, and great things happened. But there's kind of a summation of some of the amazing things that happened in that moment in history in verse 33. And it says this, and with great power, everybody say great power. So not just power, but a great degree and intensity of that power. The apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Two greats there, great grace and great power. It's those both are such powerful words and powerful instruments telling us about what God has done for us in Christ and what we have access to through the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says that there was a witness, that evidence was given by the church and by its leaders that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead, that he was resurrected. And so we're going to talk about witnesses of the resurrection, some ways, and I'm going to talk about five different ways that this passage in the Bible and then our own lives tell of that witness. The first witness is that Jesus appeared to the apostles, the 11 and then 12. He appeared to them. The 12 apostles gave firsthand testimony of the resurrection. So they saw him after he had been risen. They never wavered in their testimony, even though they were tortured and killed because of it. So for decades after the initial appearance of Christ to the apostles, they never changed their account one iota. In fact, they were willing to be imprisoned, persecuted, tortured, and die for it because they knew it was true. So the first kind of wave of a witness is the words of the apostles who said, he's risen, we saw him, I saw him with my eyes, I touched him with my hands. The second witness is with women. The women that came to the tomb, the first people to witness and then declare the resurrection of Christ were all women. So for everyone here who's against women in ministry, you wouldn't be saved without women in ministry, because they came and told the men what was going on. The first voices heralding the resurrection of Christ were all women. And so Christ, they came to the tomb, and there was just some lovely, beautiful engagements, both with angels and with Christ, and just great stuff. And so the women were witnesses. And then my third point is this, and this is where we all kind of enter into the promise of being a witness. Every person for over 2,000 years that has ever received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior has become a witness. Has become. I was talking with someone, and whenever you're talking with someone who's agnostic or atheistic or humanistic or antagonistic to the gospel, they'll always, how do you know Jesus was alive? Well, we know historically there's enough outside of the Bible's narrative, there's enough historical documentation that there was a person named Jesus Christ, that he was born and he was a part of society. So that's there. And so they say, well, how do you know Jesus is alive? How can you scientifically prove? How can you give me evidence that Jesus is risen from the dead? I've got it right here. I've got the evidence because he changed my life. I know he's alive because he changed me. So I don't need only the historical account or the words of the apostles or the words of the women. I have my own testimony. When I invited him in, he took over and he made me into a different person. He changed who I am. And every person that has ever prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ for 2,000 years is a witness, a first-hand witness of the resurrection of Christ. All of you are. Come on, if you're born again, someone give God a shout of praise in this church today. Well, born again, turn to someone and say, I am a witness. You see, that's what separates just the opinions or the arguments of others. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person who only has an argument. And it doesn't matter what they say and what they talk about. Or, well, you Christians, yeah. You can say all that, but let me just go cut to the chase. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was a sinner, but now I'm a son. And so my witness is, look what Jesus has done for me. He saved me. He forgave me. He's walking with me. He talks with me. You talk to God? Yes. He's alive. He's real. Prayer isn't a one-way conversation. He speaks to us by his word, by his spirit. He's alive. And so we are the witnesses of the risen Christ. Jesus was talking with a man named Nicodemus, a significant leader in the religious community of that time. And Nicodemus wanted to know about what the things Christ was talking about. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, I don't understand that. He didn't understand that his spirit had to be regenerated, that he had to be born again. That's when your spirit comes alive. And he goes on in chapter 3 to say these great words, talking about why he came and what God's purpose was in his life. For God so loved the world, verse 16, for God so fell in love with a broken, sinful, lost world that he gave us his only begotten son, that's Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God will save anyone that comes to him. There's no sinner so lost God can't save them. There's no life so wretched God can't redeem them. Don't give up on people. God doesn't give up on people. For God did not send, next verse, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might have life. We might find life in Christ. Jesus is the life giver. Jesus has given us a testimony. Just a couple of things. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. There's power in your testimony. King David was facing a true giant named Goliath, somewhere between 9 and 11 feet tall, this monstrosity of supernatural strength. And as David was getting ready to face him, the king, King Saul at that time, said, you're not able to fight him. You're not big enough. You're not old enough. You're not strong enough. And David said, you don't understand. I got a testimony. One day while I was watching my father's sheep, a bear came and tried to kill the lamb, but I killed the bear and rescued the lamb. Another day, a lion came and I killed that lion and rescued that lamb. And he said, if God could do it then, God can do it now. If God could deliver me from bears and lions, he could deliver me from giants. Your testimony has power. Every time you talk about what God's done for you, the grace that brought that starts flooding up and flowing again. When I travel and I'm humbled that God allows me to travel and go places, I always begin by sharing my testimony. Every time I've shared it now hundreds and hundreds of times, every time I talk about it, I feel the healing grace that brought my life to that point of testimony begin to flow in that audience. Yeah, what God's done for you, he'll do for others, including the testimony of your salvation. Yeah, talk about what Jesus has done for you. Talk about what Jesus is doing in you now. Let your words be a testimony of your God. In Romans 10, the Bible says, here's kind of the process. Here's kind of the way it works. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I believe in my heart, confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's risen from the dead, and he's forgiven my sins. When I do that, I enter into the grace that God sent his son to give us through Jesus. That's how every person is born again, believing and declaring, confessing Christ. John 1:12 says this, But as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those that believe on his name. That's what Jesus has done for us. The fourth witness I want to talk about is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We often call it in our circles the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we believe that there's different kinds of experiences. So we believe that we repent and we receive Christ and we're born again, like I just shared. And we believe in water baptism, following Christ, identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. And then we believe in the indwelling or baptism of the Holy Spirit, that those three primary experiences are to be for every believer. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes into the life of a believer with power. Jesus said to people who were already born again, he said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power, for I will send the promise of the Father to you. He said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. It's the Greek word dunamis, miraculous faculty, supernatural power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and that power, that person will make you a witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. See, people say, well, Pastor, I'm an introvert. Well, I am by nature more introverted than extroverted, but it doesn't matter, because once the Holy Spirit moves in, he changes you. Don't use the predisposition of your personality, your behavior, don't use that as an excuse for why God can't use you. God will make the lambs roar like lions. God will give you boldness. Boldness is a trait of the Holy Spirit's presence in the life of a believer. And so Jesus said, you're going to be a witness to me, and the Holy Spirit's going to make you bold. Peter, who the Bible gives record of, imagine the Bible recording your greatest failure in great detail. Peter betrayed Christ, didn't just fail Christ, but personally betrayed him 3 times in one night. Ouch. I always feel better when I read about Peter. Oh, yeah. I'm bad, but that's horrible. That's not that bad. And yet, Peter receives the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He stands up and preaches. The greatest failure among the apostles stands up and preaches the first message, and 3,000 people are born again. Why? When the Holy Spirit moves in, he takes over. And he makes us a witness. He gives us boldness. He gives us courage. He gives us strength. Oh, the Holy Spirit, he's wonderful. The Bible says this, Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered together in one place in one accord in unity. And suddenly, there came a roar, a sound from heaven, as if a mighty rushing wind, the sound of a great wind. And the sound filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, tongues of fire, over each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. So I just want to be, because the church in America is de-emphasizing the gift of speaking in tongues more and more, but I just want you to know I'm a crazy tongue talker. I talk in tongues all the time. Why? Because I don't know how to pray for you. You give me a prayer request, but most of the things I pray are spirit prayers. So I lift up the church, I lift up families, and I'm praying. Whenever I pray in the Holy Spirit, I'm praying a perfect prayer. Whenever I worship in my heavenly language, I'm giving out perfect worship. Oh, it's such good stuff. So God wants every person, the Holy Spirit being poured out on the day of Pentecost was a witness of the resurrection. I'm going to heaven. When I get there, I'm sending the Holy Spirit down. Now on the earth, the greatest revival on the earth is happening through Pentecostal movements. There are a couple billion Christians. The majority of them are charismatic now, Pentecostal. I don't know if you know that or not. Great whole parts of the world, Africa and Asia, millions of people coming into the kingdom through Pentecostal or charismatic agencies or ministries. No, I'm for everybody. I'm friends with all my non-tongue-talking pastors in town. I don't belittle them because they don't talk in tongues. I refuse to allow them to tell me it's not important, though. You do ministry out of your head. I try to let the Holy Spirit take over and just let the heart of God flows. So speaking in tongues is important. So, but there are other things. So every day I pray a couple of prayers. I pray for the mind of Christ, and then I pray for the Holy Spirit's nature, his fruit. So Holy Spirit, I pray today, fill me, Holy Spirit, with your fruit, with love, agape love, and joy, and peace, with kindness and goodness and faithfulness, meekness, patience, and self control. Well, Pastor, I've got patience. I know you're not patient. The Holy Ghost is. Scoot over and let him drive for a while. Well, I'm not loving. I know it, but he's a lover. Amen. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us, Romans 5:5. Well, Pastor, I'm not by nature happy. I know you're miserable, but here's the Holy Spirit is joy. Come on, I say this to this church, you can be happy when life is crappy. Why? The Holy Spirit. See, that's why on Resurrection Sunday, this isn't a mourning service. We're not mourning a dead person on a cross. He got off the cross. He came out of the tomb. Come on, there's not a moment in heaven, there's not a moment of silence on Easter. Oh, angel stops again. You kidding me? There's parties. They're blowing up helium balloons. I don't know what they're doing. They're celebrating the victory that Christ has won. We join in that celebration. Amen? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm not picking on you if you don't pray in tongues. I'm just inviting you to not be afraid of it and to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. He will, okay? He will empower you. He'll make you a witness. The fifth thing I want to talk about is the thing that our main verse talked about. Supernatural power. Okay, let's talk about the power of God. The supernatural power of God manifested through signs, wonders, and miracles gives witness of the resurrection of Christ. So I was in Hawaii a couple weeks ago and praying there Sunday night, miracle, you know, healing service, and filled, probably 1,000 people there. It was crazy. It was wild. Had an altar call, and the whole church came just, so I'm down there at the altar, and there's 500 people around me, you know. Wow. And so I felt led to pray for a woman who looked kind of rough. And I just walked over, kind of walked through the crowd and got to her. And I started prophesying to her. And she started screaming at the top of her lungs. Here's what she said. How could you know this? She looked all around. How could he know that? And her mind was blown because God gave her a word that no one knew but her and God. And about a half an hour later, we had the altar call to get saved. And she's like the first person, I gotta get saved. I just experienced God. When the church presents a powerless gospel, it's like going to the restaurant and ordering a cheeseburger and it shows up, but there's no patty. It's just lots of buns. I could do something with that, but my wife's here, so I can't. Lots of buns. And you open up and say, where's, some of the older folks, where's the beef? Google it. Where's the beef? There's always a misrepresentation of the gospel when it does not include the supernatural. Thank you, two of you. All right. So what does that mean? People have a right to experience God, not just hear about God. With great power, the apostle gave witness like that woman. How could you know this? She's screaming. I said, it's just Jesus. He loves you. He knows you. I've had that happen many times, actually. But it was so fun because we're in a service and she's just screaming. How could he know? How could? And it brought her to Christ. Off the streets, whatever she was going through, it brought her to Christ. Jesus said this in John 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, the works that I do, you shall do also. Okay, I'm with you, Jesus. Then he blows our mind. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus said, I did things not just to show you I could do things. I did things to show you you could do them too. The disciples saw the ministry of Christ, and Christ began to urge them to replicate it, even in the practice of praying for the sick and other things that had supernatural agency to it. And they did. And when they did, they brought the kingdom of God to the regions they went to. Now, America is under a demonic siege, and there is so much deception and oppression happening, and we can't, as the church, defeat it with intellectual, theological discourse. We can only defeat it with signs, wonders, and miracles, with the manifestation of the power of God. So, you can't cancel out a demon. You have to cast out a demon. You can't ignore the devil only. Sometimes you gotta rebuke the devil and bind the devil and take authority over the devil. So the church moved into a realm of authority, and so everyone's watching. They're doing what Jesus did. They're doing what Jesus did. We always lose folks here, and they withdraw, but miracles aren't just for preachers, they're for believers. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils, they'll speak in new tongues. If they are bit by a serpent, they won't be hurt. They'll lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. And they went forth, the last verse of the Mark, they went forth preaching the word everywhere, God working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Signs following. Beautiful Mary loves to go to Costco, and one of her favorite things is the taste tables, the sample tables. So, and she's an honest customer, because she'll taste it. I can just see the person. Sorry, I just work here. I didn't make it, you know. Or if she likes it, she buys it. We're asking the world to buy a product they haven't tasted. Give them a little taste. Come on. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Jesus said, go heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and open blind eyes, and then tell them the kingdom is here. So they go together. They go together. So there is an inclusive part of ministry is this wonderful thing called signs, wonders, and miracles. A couple of simple points. The gospel, absent the confirmation of the supernatural, is like a sandwich without meat. I talked about that. The manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit demonstrate and witness the resurrection of Christ. So if Christ is alive, then when we pray in his name, he answers prayer. Now, so we're in a miracle season. Let me give you some hope. So people that are under siege from oppression, from dark, controlling, and deceiving powers, Jesus loves them all. And God doesn't want you at war with people he's trying to deliver. He wants you to be a deliverer of the bound. Now, you don't have to put up with their, you don't have to align with or agree with whatever their agenda is. But never think God can't change someone. Never think God can't transform. Oh, Pastor, what about those people, Pastor, in sexual confusion? God can change them. What about the people, you know, what about the people? God can change anybody. We don't want to ever withdraw our faith from someone God's ready to redeem. We don't ever want to say to God, they're not fixable, they're not changeable, they're not redeemable. No such thing. So we want to be people engaged in a positivity, a possibility that anybody can be delivered. In the Bible, here's a simple example. The worst person that ever lived. In the Bible, the worst king was a king named Manasseh. The Bible says he's the worst king, so he's got that title, you know, on his thing. Said he's not the funnest person, he's the worst person that ever lived. So Manasseh does child sacrifice, he does horrific sexual things, he does all kinds of idolatrous things. The Bible doesn't give us graphic detail, thank God, about some of those things, just kind of an overview. And prophets came to him and said, you need to change. If you don't change, trouble's going to come. He ignored them for years, but God's mercy endures for a long time. And then judgment came, and Nineveh came. The Assyrians came. They conquered Israel. They took him away with a nose hook, a hook in his nose, naked through the streets of Nineveh, mocking the king of Israel. And in prison, Pastor Nathan. Pastor Nathan in the prison ministry comes and sees him. In prison, he humbled himself and called out to God. And God forgave him. That's not the end of the story. And God restored him. The worst guy in the Bible got a second chance. And so don't tell God who he can't change, who he can't save, who he can't fix, who he can't heal, who he can't redeem, who he can't repair, who he can't restore. If God can save that dude, he can save your dude. Okay? We don't want to give up on people just because they've let us, because the intensity of their sin or the longevity of it. So we want to be in God's side of this equation. Miracles, signs, and wonders. When the gifts of the Spirit are ignored or de-emphasized, the preaching of the gospel is incomplete and insufficient. So it's just this. We just don't want to kick the Holy Spirit out of them. The Holy Spirit is a senior pastor of Church for the Nations. Okay? We don't want to tell the Holy Spirit, you can't function here. We got our agenda. We got our programs. No. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Now, I'm going to close with this. I declare today miracles in this room. Miracles for those watching. Miracles of healing, deliverance, help, whatever it is. In any part of your world, if you need a visitation, an encounter with God, or a miracle, I'm just going to ask you to stand up right now. Let me pray for you. Because I'm just going to pray with great faith for miracles to hit every person in this room that needs one. Doesn't matter if it's your body, your finance, your marriage, whatever it is. You need a miracle to stand your feet. You need God to do something. Thank you for allowing us to pray for you. Okay. The five of us that don't need miracles are going to pray for you now. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your name. There's so much power in your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is your church. Come. I declare by the mighty name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, miracles into your life, miracles into broken bodies, miracles into hurting minds, miracles into traumatized hearts, miracles into families, miracles into businesses, miracles into ministries, miracles for children, for spouses, for siblings. I declare that today's a miracle. That God, I thank you for confirming this word with signs following. Let someone's closed ear open. Let someone's blind eye see. Let someone's hurting shoulder be healed. Let someone with cancer go out cancer free. God, anything they need, we declare right now in the name of Jesus. While you're standing there or sitting there, come on, just stretch your faith towards someone else too. Receiving for yourself, but believing for someone else. Come on. Just if you're close enough to touch them on the shoulder, do it. Father, we pray for each other and we declare the great name of Jesus, the name that heals, the name that delivers, the name that changes everything. Thank you, God. Like we sang, there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you, God. Don't give up, my friends. Don't give up on your story. Don't give up on your God. Don't give up on your future. Don't give up. I'm going to ask you all now just to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. I'm all done. Would you all stand to your feet? This is, we're going to sing and we're closing now. As we close, and we talked about being a witness and talked about the wonderful saving grace of Jesus. Like the Bible said, and I read, whoever calls upon him will be saved. If you've never received that grace, if you've never received the gift of the forgiveness of your sins, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation's a gift we receive by faith. If you've never given your heart to Christ and received his grace, or if you've been away from God and are ready on this Resurrection Sunday to come home, we're going to say a public prayer. But if you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer, would you just wave your hand at me while no one's looking around? Thank you, thank you, thank you, guys. Gosh, a whole row of people. That's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, beautiful. Awesome, awesome. Oh, beautiful, man, oh, man. That is wonderful stuff, wonderful stuff. I'm going to ask the whole church, I would say well over 100 people just raised their hands now. I'm going to ask the whole church to pray this prayer, and you that raised your hand, just make these words yours. Would you please repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, today I receive your Son, and I confess your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sin and giving me new life. I turn from my past and I surrender to you. From this day forward, I will follow you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, a whole bunch of people right here. So awesome. Beautiful. We're going to ask, if you prayed that prayer, would you talk to someone today? Talk to the folks that brought you, or talk to someone here, talk to someone at the altar. We're going to pray for you. Prayer team, if you come down front, we'd love to be a part of your faith journey and help you grow in Christ and receive everything else God has for you in Jesus. Thank you so much for being here. Can you thank Worship Nation again? Thank you, choir. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, amazing singers. As we close today, we want to invite anyone who needs prayer. We do believe, like we just declared, in healings and miracles. If you need a healing in your body, we believe the Bible says, with his stripes we were healed. We'd be honored to pray for you. If you are going through a difficult season, maybe a real intense storm, let someone pray for you before you go home. If you gave your heart to Christ, we'd love to talk to you here too, standing with you, just loving on you and supporting your decision. We talked about the Holy Spirit, and if you'd like to get to the Holy Spirit, we'd love to talk about that too and pray for you. Anyone who wants to pray for any reason, come and join us now, just for 60 seconds longer, church, if you worship God with me while those seeking prayer before you.
We sing holy, 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 holy.
Have a wonderful rest of your Resurrection Sunday. Stay here as long as you want to. We're going to pray for everyone that wants prayer. Tell someone Jesus loves them, like praise if you're going out. God bless you.
Yeah, King Jesus.